Glad to see you're back for session number 8. We're in the home stretch now. So I've got to ask, how was your assignment? Did you do it? I'm sure you did. Now, today, we're moving into step 6 of the 7 master steps. Condition the new thought, emotion, decision, or action. But let me ask you, do you remember the first 5 steps? Step number 1, understand and appreciate their world. Step number 2, obtain leverage. Step number 3, interrupt the pattern. Step 4, define the problem in solvable terms. Step 5, create new empowering alternatives. And today is step 6, condition the new thought, emotion, decision, or action. When creating change, we want to make sure that any positive change will last beyond the moment and will stick in the future. A pattern won't stick just because you had a conversation. You have to condition the pattern and create reinforcement. What it all comes down to is what Tony said in an earlier session. Any thought, feeling, emotion, behavior, or belief that is consistently reinforced will become conditioned. So today, we're going to focus on 2 simple yet powerful skills of conditioning. The first skill is a process called anchoring, which is a way to create and condition a specific emotion, action, or behavior. In fact, you can anchor anything. You can anchor feelings, emotions, behaviors, thoughts, trust me, anything. In this session, Tony will explain to you the process of anchoring, so when you're finished, you can go out and do it right away. By the way, you might hear some noise like this during this session. That's just Tony striking his body to set an anchor. And you'll understand more about that as you get into the session. The second skill that you will learn today is another great way to condition any thought, emotion, decision, or action through the use of what are called incantations. So let's get started and learn about anchoring.
What's an anchor? Let me give you a literal definition of anchor if you'll jot it in your notes. An anchor is a created association between a specific stimulus and a specific state. Now, what the heck do those words mean? Well, let me give you an idea. A stimulus. What's a stimulus? Anything unique can be a stimulus. Can someone give you a weird look and that be considered a stimulus? Yes or no? A touch can be a stimulus. A sound can be a stimulus. And an emotional state, you know what those are. Fear is an emotional state. Excitement is an emotional state. So anytime you learn to associate an emotional state with a particular trigger, something you see, something specific you hear, something you feel, whatever you've learned to associate those together, then in the future, all you do is have to trigger the trigger and you'll feel the state. So that's literally what an anchor is. And the key word here is a created association. Notice it isn't natural. You have learned to do it. Now, how many of you have a song that when you hear it, wham, you're back there remembering a time you're with somebody you really have strong feelings for? Right? Or maybe you have, for example, a touch anchor. By the way, what is a kiss? It's an anchor, isn't it? It's a specific kind of touch that you anchor certain feelings to. But it's not the same for everybody because you learn to anchor certain feelings to some people's kiss different than other people's. Okay? So anchors are happening all the time. How is an anchor created? Let me show you how it's created. It's so simple. In fact, I do not have to teach you how to anchor. I have to teach you that you are anchoring. Because many of you unknowingly, without meaning to, are creating negative anchors quite often when you're trying to help somebody. And as a result, it does not work out well. Here's how an anchor is created. Anytime, I repeat, anytime, yes, anytime. Anytime a person is in what we call an intense state. Now, by definition, an intense state would be one where you are fully what? That's right. Anytime a person is in a fully associated state where they're intense. Now, would ecstasy fall in that category, yes or no? Would depression also fall in that category? Would frustration fall in that category? Would anger fall in that category? Would love fall in this category? Yes, as long as you're fully associated, your whole body's involved. Anytime someone's feeling really intense feelings, either positive or negative, doesn't matter which one it is, as long as it's intense, if, while they're at the peak of that state, while they're at the peak, someone consistently, those are the key words, while they're at the peak, someone consistently does anything unique, anything. So let me say it again. Anytime somebody's in an intense state, fully associated, positive or negative, if during the peak of that state, someone consistently does anything unique. Now, anything might be a certain kind of look they give you over and over again while you're in that peak state, consistently. Or it could be a sound they make while you're doing it. It could be a certain kind of touch, or it could be a combination of these. Anything that they do unique while you're in the peak consistently will get linked neurologically. So that now when this thing happens again, this sound or this look or whatever the case may be, wham, you finish it off by going in the same state again. You trigger you to go back in the state. How many follow that? That's all anchoring is. So when I say you're being anchored, I don't have to teach you how to anchor. You're already doing it. Anytime you're around somebody who's in an intense state and you do anything consistently, it'll get linked up. And sometimes people are in negative states and you get anchored to their negative states and you've done nothing wrong. How many of you ever had this happen? When somebody's all mad about something, you try to cheer them up, and pretty soon they're mad at you. And then you don't link up later on why they pick a fight with you. It's because they've linked to your face this thing. Let's say somebody comes home from work 4 or 5 times in a really lousy state. They see their spouse's face. They're not even mad at their spouse. Anger, see the spouse. Anger, see the spouse. Anger, see the spouse. One day they have a great day. They come home. They see their spouse. Guess how they feel? Angry. They pick a fight. They wonder what's going on. Interesting, huh? I'll give you another example. Let's say John has just lost his father. His father's died. Is John likely to be in an intense state? Yes or no? Yes. Let's say at the funeral, he's very sad, which is natural, right? And at the funeral, somebody comes by while John's in this really depressed state. And somebody comes by and goes, "Hey, John, it'll be okay, man. Hang in there." If it doesn't interrupt his pattern, if he stays in this intense state while this unique touch is happening, what may have just occurred? A negative anchor. If somebody comes by and goes, "It'll be okay, John," if that's not bad enough, guess what somebody right next to him will probably do? You'll probably go, "Yeah, John, it'll be okay." Now John is definitely negatively anchored. So now what happens? Let's say 6 months have gone by. And John's okay now about his father passing on because, you know, it was time for him to go. He was 210. And it was about time to do it, you know. So what happens? He's at a party. He's in a great state. Somebody comes by and goes, "Hey, John, how's it going?" It hits him like this. What happens within 30 seconds max? He feels totally what? Totally what? Depressed, and he doesn't even know why. How many of you ever had something like this happen to you where something happened, you don't even know what it was, but suddenly, man, you're just totally depressed. You weren't even depressed a few minutes before. And you say, "But Tony, no one touched me." Is touch the only kind of anchor you could get? Yes or no? Absolutely not. You can get anchored by a voice. There could be a piece of music playing in the background that you're not consciously noticing, but it was playing when you're really in this depressed state, and now when you hear it in the background, unconsciously, it fires off the anchor and you go back in a state of feeling depressed. How many follow this? It could be a smell. Smell is the most powerful anchor of all, by the way. Olfactory is the strongest state inducer we have. Now, how do you do an anchor consciously then, if you want to do it consciously? Well, anytime somebody's in a peak positive state, I anchor them. If you watch me with people on stage, I anchor people sometimes in a lousy state so that I can then get rid of it. I'm going to show you how to do that. But you've also seen every time they're in a peak state, you'll see me touching their shoulder or saying, "Just as intense as you were then," or touching them on the knee. I'm creating an anchor so that when I want to, I can put them right back in that state anytime I need to. So anytime my friends are in a great state, I'm always anchoring them with a look or the smile or something that I'll do differently, right? Just to lock in that same feeling. So that's anchoring and doing it all the time. But here's how to do it. All it takes to anchor is 2 steps and then 2 steps to test it. Step number one, to create an anchor, here's all you got to do. Either catch the person in a peak state, or put the person in a peak state. That's step one. How could you put a person in a peak state? You could get them to what? Remember a time when they're in a peak state. Remember a time when you're really motivated? Remember a time when you felt really confident? Or you could say, "Show me how you stand when you're confident. Show me how you breathe when you're confident." Say something in a confident voice. "Okay." Right? You get them to change their body, and that'll change their state, or change their focus, and it'll change their state. Does that make sense? So you either catch them in state, like if somebody's laughing hysterically, while they're laughing, it's a great time to anchor them because they're in a positive state and it's intense. Okay? Or put them in state. So that's step one. Step two, at the peak of the state, at the peak of their state, consistently do something unique. That's all it takes. Now you've set an anchor. Now how do you know if it works? Simple. Step three, I said there are two steps to set one and two steps to check it. Step three is a checking it stage. Step three is interrupt their pattern. Now, how would you do that? You would either distract them, change their focus, or you would change their what? Physiology, very good. And then finally, step four, you test it by refiring the trigger. Refire the trigger. If it works, then you obviously have an anchor that works. If it doesn't, then you're obviously off. So that's all it takes. Put them in state or catch them in state. At the peak of the state, right, consistently do something unique, then change their pattern, so they're in a neutral state, and then fire the anchor and see if they go back into the state. It's that simple. That's all it takes. Now, if it didn't work, it's because of one of four things was off. And these are the four things that you must do well for an anchor to work. Drop them down. Number one, for an anchor to work, the most important element is the intensity of the state. The intensity of the state. People often ask me, how long will anchor last? Can an anchor last a lifetime, yes or no? Can an anchor last a week? Let me tell you the difference. The amount of emotional intensity the person was having when you anchored them. If a person's like in a very intense state and you anchor them, that anchor could be a lifetime. If they're laughing hysterically, you can come back 10 years from now and you fire the anchor and it'll work. But if they go, but if you laugh or the person's barely laughing, you anchor them, that anchor might not even last a minute. You follow me? You've got to get the person fully associated in an intense state. So intensity of the state is the most important thing. And when people try to do an anchor and it doesn't work, almost always they just didn't get the person really in state. They said, can you remember a time when you're really motivated? And the person went, yep. And they went, okay. They weren't fully what? Yeah, they didn't have their body in state. They weren't breathing that way. Say, show me how you stand when you're motivated. Then anchor. How do you breathe? Shh. What do you say? Yes. What's your face like? Hmm. Right? That's how you build an anchor. Right? Don't just say, feel the time when you felt like sexy? Sure. You know, that won't do it, okay? All right? Step two, for an anchor to work, it must be done at the what of the experience? Peak. Must be at the peak. So the key secret here is timing. Key number two is timing. Peak timing. Now you might say, but Tony, how am I going to know where the peak is? Trust your unconscious. So this thing about trusting your unconscious, it's not just a bunch of psychobabble. It's real. You trust your unconscious every time you get out of your chair and try and walk across the room. Because most of you don't think about, okay, now how will I rotate my right femur at this moment as I turn here? But a part of you does ask that question. And it handles things for you. Your unconscious is more powerful than your conscious mind ever dreamed of being. Trust it. It has the answers. Three, uniqueness. Third key is the uniqueness of the trigger. This is real important. If an anchor is going to work, it's ideal that you have a trigger that is unique. So, for example, if you want to anchor somebody and you're going to anchor them in a particular state, could you, for example, like anchor somebody laughing and do it in a state where you got them laughing and then you shook their hand while they're laughing? Could that work, yes or no? The answer is yes, you could. But let me tell you, here's the challenge. So let's say I get Annette here laughing hysterically, and then I shake her hand. Could I anchor her laughing hysterically and shake her hand? And the answer is yes. I could anchor her when she's laughing hysterically and shake her hand, but then the problem is, someone else come by and shake her hand in a totally serious situation, you start laughing hysterically, and it'll freak everything out, right? So what would happen is I'd shake her hand, or someone else could shake her hand, she'd laugh hysterically, and after doing that three or four times, her brain would go, this is insane, and it would create more pain than pleasure, right? Because she'd not be embarrassed or be inappropriate, so she'd probably then interrupt her own pattern. Does that make sense? Plus, the other problem is it's not a very unique anchor. Now, with me, it is because she's never squeezed a hand this large in her lifetime. The secret is uniqueness. And then four, you must replicate the anchor effectively. So it's not going to fire off unless you replicate it identically. What if you anchor somebody like this? You get in a peak state and you reach out and anchor them here. and now you come and try and fire it off, here, is it going to work? It actually will not, but it could. You know why? Because when the person sees your hand coming, part of the anchor, since they're in a peak state, may have been seeing it coming towards them. But the point is, if you've anchored somebody here, and they see your hand coming, that could become the anchor, so it's possible. How many of you have ever had somebody going to tickle you, and they haven't even tickled you yet, but you're already freaking out? How many have had that happen? Okay, that's because the visual anchor of it's starting to make you crack up already. You haven't even touched, but you can already feel it. Okay, so it's possible. But if you anchor somebody like this, whap, and you try and fire it off by going like this, is it going to work? Unless they fire it off visually, the answer is no, because this feeling is a different feeling than this feeling. And vice versa. If you set it this way, you can't hit it this way and expect them to stay in state. Well, some people want to put somebody like on a laughter anchor, making them feel good. They go, can you remember a time when you really felt love? And they go, yeah. Okay. You know, probably not the most appropriate anchor. Okay? You're doing something that may knock them out of state. So when you do an anchor, you might want to do something that's somewhat consistent with the kind of state you want them to be in. Otherwise, the stimulus you're using may knock them out. Okay? So you got to replicate the anchor effectively. Very, very important. Those are the four keys. Now, question. Can you anchor yourself? Yes or no? There's no question you can anchor yourself. In fact, you've been doing it your whole life. Right? You've been in peak states and done certain things. But the problem is many of you have anchored yourself in lousy states. Now,